We come back now to the book of Exodus. We've had special subjects lately, but we're returning to our series now, and we're on chapter 16 of the book of Exodus. The Lord has triumphantly led the Israelites out of Egypt, and broken the power of Pharaoh's army, and the Israelites have sung that great song, that paean of praise to God in honor of their deliverance from Egypt. All of this plainly is a parallel to each of us as we have been delivered from sin, delivered from the world, when the Lord breaks those shackles from us and sets us free in the new birth through Christ. And this is something that we can all relate to because it's presented here in historical form, but the same principle is there. But now, after conversion, after salvation, many Christians have the idea, well, I've done what I should now, I've gotten right with the Lord, so everything should be a smooth plane now. We should have a good time. And they're stunned when they run into trouble. And largely it is because they are not prepared for the wilderness. And all of this is designed very deliberately to show us what our own pathway is all about. And that does not diminish from the historical accuracy of the account at all. It was indeed historical deliverance and a historical journey through the wilderness. But there is something about this that tells us that what we are enduring in the Christian life is not an accident. When we were delivered from Egypt, that's good. That's fine. We're going in the right direction. The pathway is not one of peace and quiet. It is one of warfare and struggle and deprivation and hardship. And many Christians are troubled about this. Why does this have to happen to me? Why is this so hard? Why isn't life easier? It's because you're in the desert. And that is not an accident. That is the pathway home. The desert is equivalent to the world. God could take a saved saint home to glory immediately. But there would be something wrong in that because there is no time of developing strength, no time to build character, no time to be made what God wants the believer to be. And so, yes, the Christian life goes on after conversion. It's very important that it does. And for the Israelites, the wilderness wanderings were very important to them, that they might find out what life was all about. Conversion is not the be-all and end-all of our existence. Conformity to the character of Christ is. Now we come to Exodus 16. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." So here they are murmuring, complaining over Moses. And Moses is simply following orders. Moses is not innovative in what he's doing. The Lord told him, this is the pathway. Lead the Israelites this way. And sometimes Christians wonder why preachers labor certain doctrines so. It's because the Lord tells them, this is what they need to hear. This is what you need to emphasize. Sometimes the congregation wonders why. Well, because we're all in the desert. We're in the wilderness. And we need to learn how to depend upon the Lord for everything. Now, friends, in America, We are taught to be self-reliant. We're taught to stand upon our own feet and make our own way and all of this. You've all heard that from earliest times. But in the Christian life, that is not how you live it. In the Christian life, everything depends upon the grace of God. Our very being depends upon God. And we have to learn this. This is not second nature to any of us. We tend to think, well, I have the Christian life to live, and I'm going to do this and do that and do the other because it's the Christian thing to do. And we find out it becomes awfully hard. And there are closed doors sometimes instead of open doors. And we keep asking ourselves, why? Why isn't this an easier pathway? It's because it's the wilderness. And we have to learn that the world cannot help us in any regard in getting to God, in finding a spiritual destination. There is only one being that can do that for us, and He is God. Everything in our lives is going to deteriorate and fall apart unless we depend upon God and Him alone. Moses is in a hard spot. He knows he's going in the right direction, and now everybody finds fault with him. Verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. And it will come about on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." Now, this tells us God had already provided for everything that they would need. The provision was ready at hand. God was in no way being forced to do this. This was part of His plan. The Israelites had no idea about this. They thought somehow it was Moses' job to do everything for them. Sometimes the church gets that idea that it's the preacher's job to do all the work in the church. That's a horrifying situation. First, the preacher can't do it. And second, the congregation has to learn that they're the ones who are doing the work in the church. The preacher is just one to show them how. Some churches don't understand that at all. Hopefully, you folks do, and I praise the Lord for your zeal in serving in this church. That's good. You're on the wilderness pathway. You need to learn how to do it well. So that's why I'm here. I'm not here to do everything that's needed to be done. I'm here to show you folks how to do it. And so that is what Moses does. He tells them that the Lord has provided everything. The Lord is going to sustain them in the wilderness. So, bread from heaven. That's something that's supernatural. That doesn't come about in this world. By the sweat of our brow, we produce food here. But God doesn't have to labor that way. He can decree that it be there. And in a spiritual sense, that is what He has to do for us. Physical bread won't sustain us. We'll shrivel up spiritually and die. But spiritual bread now will sustain us. And so, in verse 6, Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, "At evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for He hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "This will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and bread to the full in the morning. For the Lord hears your grumblings which you grumble against Him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord." So here the Lord assures them that He is going to provide for their needs, and Moses explains to the people what the Lord is going to do. He is going to provide supernatural help every day. They're going to a wilderness where there is nothing to eat. I put in the lobby a print of a photograph that was taken some 150 years ago. And it shows Jerusalem. And it is a poor, miserable place, a barren, desolate view if there ever was one. And that is what the land looked like. And that is what the whole countryside looks like toward the south. It is a barren, desolate wilderness. And there are no crops growing there. When you're in the desert, there's nothing that's green there. There may be a couple of old acacia bushes that are hanging on. There's not a leaf on them. They shed them all when the summer sun gets on them. There's nothing else there except some thorn bushes that only a camel could appreciate. And what is there else? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And how are all these thousands of people going to survive now for years in the desert? It's humanly impossible. They're all going to starve to death from the human standpoint. But God has already prepared for them. He is going to sustain them. It's going to be done miraculously through His Word. He promises that He will sustain them. And that's exactly what He does. And it's miraculous. Friends, this is still the way it's done. God sustains us through His Word, this book that you're holding in your hands. This is how He does it. And it's not a logical thing at all for God to sustain His people through a book. How can that be? But friends, that is exactly how He does it. And when we forget about this book, when we neglect this book, we starve, spiritually speaking. This book is absolutely necessary for us. Because this is the means that God has chosen to sustain His people. His Word is going to do it. Now, the bread that comes from heaven. That is a very interesting phrase. And in the margin of your Bible, if you have a normal reference Bible there, you've got a reference to John 6:31, where the Lord Jesus picks up that same phrase, the bread from heaven. And He is the bread from heaven. He tells the audience in that day, the bread from heaven my Father gives you is He which comes down from heaven and gives His life to the world. He Himself was the bread from heaven. Our salvation depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can save us. He is the true bread. When we receive Him, we receive that internal sustenance of salvation and sustaining grace. And so, the bread from heaven is ultimately our Lord Jesus. But we find Him in Scripture. You don't get it from some ecstatic experience. You get it from the Word. And that grace that comes to you comes through reading the Bible. Now, that's a simple thing that any of us can do. And something that we tend to neglect because it's so ordinary to read a book. Why, we read things every day, whether it's the newspaper or whatever. We're used to reading things, and this is one more book. But no, it isn't. It's the book of God. It's a book that reveals to us God's will, a book that imparts to us grace and strength and power that we cannot know apart from this book. And so, Bible reading is extremely important for us. We tend to take it for granted. It's just something we do now and then. However, food is something we need every day. Food is something we've got to have all the time, and we're pretty faithful about showing up at meals. No matter what we've been doing, we knock off and eat. That's just old custom, okay? Well, we need it. Now, Scripture is in that very same category. It's not just something we do now and then. It's something we need every day for sustaining grace, just as we need food for physical strength. So, God has provided it for us, and we must recognize in the wilderness the food is extremely important. And there is no other place to get it than this book. You'll never hear someone saying that he was reading King Lear the other night and it just changed his life. I love Shakespeare, that's fine, but you don't get the grace of God from Shakespeare. You don't hear someone saying that he was reading poetry last night and Wadsworth is just so great. Well, he may be great, but that doesn't give you grace. This book does. It's the only book that can. The Quran poisons you. The Quran recommends polygamy, vengeance upon the adversary. It's a book that will destroy you. And many people in this world think that that is a proper book to read devotionally. But it isn't. This book is the only inspired revelation from God. Now, the text continues. In verse 9, Moses said to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumblings." And it came about, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." So it came about at evening that the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. And when the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" "Manu." For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." Now this is a supernatural act. It is something that is not a normal thing. And I know the liberals come to this and they say, "Well, there's a little waxy byproduct of thorn bushes. And it will fall on the ground and it's edible." So obviously, that was this manna that they found. Now, friend, if you're in the desert looking for that, you can go around on your hands and knees for acres and get enough to fill a thimble. You're not going to get enough to feed hundreds of thousands of people. So this is something that is absolutely miraculous. This was something that God created. And it was something that happened at night. Just like the dew, the frost forms at night. This formed, but it was a supernatural act of God. And this edible thing, what was it? Well, yeah, manna. What is it? That's what the Hebrew means. It's a question. What is it? Nobody understood what it was, but it was from God. It was sustaining gift from God. And they gathered it, sure enough. It was a tasty thing that sustained them every day. The shock was, it's going to do it for 40 years. A whole generation, it's going to keep them alive. My friends, recognize that. This book does the whole thing for you all your life. There are no alternatives. There are no substitutes. This is the only thing that will provide spiritual food for you. It is what God intends for the whole generation, all your days. This message, this is the power and strength of God. This is the manna that sustains your life, and it will do so all your days. It is God's complete provision for you, supernaturally, all your life. And without it, you fall apart spiritually. Everyone does. You start to neglect your Bible reading, you fall apart, spiritually speaking. This book is necessary for the sustenance of your spiritual well-being. And so the quails came. God directed them to fly low and they could net them and have some meat, which was an interesting thing. But the manna materialized without any help from the Israelites. All they had to do was to go out and gather it. And as they gathered it, it was plainly thick everywhere. It was fully equivalent for the meals of all those people. And they had to eat it that day. They couldn't save it. When they tried to save it, it spoiled. You see the parallelism with Bible study? Your study of God's Word on Sunday won't help you tomorrow. It helps you today. It can't keep. You can't save a blessing over the next day. You've got to read again. You've got to gather it again. You need that strength every day, and that's how you get it. You gather it every day. Without it, you starve yourself. You're dying on the vine without the strength of God flowing through you, because it comes through this book. And so, verse 16, this is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take an omer apiece according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent. And the sons of Israel did so. Some gathered much, some little. When they gathered it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess. He who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. And Moses said to them, let no man leave it until the morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until the morning, and it bred worms and became foul, and Moses was angry with them. And they gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat. When it grew hot, it would melt. So it was not a natural substance at all. It was food, bread from heaven that God supplied for them, and it just evaporated away as the heat of the day came. So God provided for them, but they had to gather it. God has provided for you in this blessed book, but you've got to gather it. It's not a miraculous thing that is transferred from the book to you. That's your gathering. You have to do it every day. But the content of the book is the miraculous food of God. The content of the book is God's supernatural power for your Christian life. Now, verse 22, it came about that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, then he said to them, this is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning. They put it aside until morning as Moses ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. And Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. So here is, once again, the supernatural example of that food. On that particular day in the week, it would keep overnight. And it wouldn't spoil. Why? Because they were not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. And so they didn't go out to gather. Instead, it kept. This was God's will. Now, this tells you that where God commands it, he can impart grace without our work. But normally, every day, we gather, just as the Israelites did, and fill our souls with the bread of God. But all of this is a miraculous occurrence. Unsaved people don't like all that. They think all this is just an old story. And they don't like it in their religion. They think their religion ought to be something they do, something that earns favor with God, merit before God. And they don't realize that God doesn't operate that way. No one comes before God and says, look how good I am. No one can say that. God is not pleased with mankind. His estimate of mankind is, this is a wicked and perverse generation. There is none righteous, no, not one. Scripture is very clear on that score. The person who comes to God comes as a poor sinner. He must beg God's forgiveness and beg God's grace. And so God gives it. He forgives. And he supplies grace. And he keeps supplying it. All through the wilderness wandering, to the day of our death, there's not a thing we can earn. There's not a thing we can do to acquire merit before God. All the way through, it's miraculous, supernatural, sustaining grace that God supplies until the day he takes us home. Now, that is the wilderness. It's something very different than what most people understand. The wilderness, for most people reading the Bible, was just a journey to the Holy Land. It was just a pathway they had to travel to get to what is now the state of Israel. But they could have done that in just a few months as a people. But no, they stayed there 40 years, a generation. Because every one of us must see ourselves in those Israelites and must realize that we are in the same spot with the same difficulties, the same barren, desolate wilderness about us, that we need the same sustaining grace, miraculously, every day. In verse 28, the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the Sabbath day. And the house of Israel named it manna. Literally, what is it? And it was like coriander seed, white. And its taste was like wafers with honey. So they had kind of a little biscuit, honey-flavored. It was sweet, delicious, and it was sustaining. And so God provided precisely what they needed. Then Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omerful of it be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread that I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omerful of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. Now here, this was a miracle that was preserved. It was something that was a reminder to them how important this was to them. And so there were only a few things that were put in the ark, but this was one of them, which tells us God is extremely interested in sustaining his people. And we must keep focused on that fact, that daily manna is vital for our existence. And so that jar of manna was there to show to the Israelites, it wasn't just an old story, it was an actual happening. It was an actual substance that sustained the people during 40 years of the wilderness. And they would have perished within the first week if it hadn't been for God's sustaining grace. Friends, transfer all that to yourself, for we are in that same situation. If we are going to walk the Christian pathway and live a testimony for God in this world, we are not going to survive the first week. But by God's grace, he sustains us, and the grace comes through this book. Now, all those believers who think, well, you know, the Bible is a good book, so every day I open up and I read one verse, you know, like taking one bite out of the pot of manna. That won't do. You need the whole serving. And so for all of us, we must recognize that all of us should be diligent, determined students of the Word. We need it. It is not just something we do because Christians do it. It's something we do because we need it. And without it, we deteriorate. Now, friends, in every congregation, there are people who don't take that seriously. And they read the Bible once in a while as the Spirit moves them. And for the rest of the time, they ignore it. And they wonder why they're in such ill spirits. They wonder why they're so quick to get into arguments with their fellow believers. They wonder why they get bitter over events that happen in their lives. That's very normal. They're ignoring the grace that God has provided for them. And the Christian life becomes disastrous. You can all think of Christians, put quotes around that word, that you don't like to run into. They're ill-tempered. They're presuming. They can be downright obnoxious. They don't know it. It's hard to get along with them. But God knows exactly what's wrong with them. They're systematically starving themselves to death. Friends, we've got to be sure as believers that we understand what sustaining grace is. And how God imparts that to His people, it is done through this book. That is why we center our attention upon this book. And we keep coming back to it. Keep going through it. Keep digesting and absorbing what is there. Keep filling our minds and thoughts with this book. Because this is where the grace comes from. Apart from this book, there are no resources. The world is a desert. I'm going to talk tonight about the world that hates us. The world intends to do us in. But God intends to preserve us and is not bound by supernatural activity. God doesn't appear in light and defeat our foes. He's in a book. And the grace comes to us by searching the Scriptures. So that's why the Bereans were said to be more noble, because they searched the Scriptures daily, whether the teaching of Paul was so. They found out it was. They found out that searching of the Scriptures filled them with grace and strength. And God calls them more noble. Friends, that would be a nobility that we should all strive for. One that we have sincere spiritual aspirations for, to be counted in God's sight a more noble believer, because we are taking God's Word seriously. We are seriously determined to absorb and digest this precious bread from heaven. In verse 35, "And the sons of Israel ate the manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. And they ate manna until they came to the borders of Canaan." Now an omer is a tenth of an ephah, a definite measurement. So they're not dealing with some spiritual idea. They're dealing with actual physical things that they gathered and ate, and it sustained them 40 years. A whole generation. Friends, we must recognize our responsibility as believers to fill our minds with God's holy word, to set aside time to study that word, to have a program of definite, systematic searching of Scripture, whether, as I'm doing here, going through a book chapter by chapter, or other methods. There are many methods to use in studying Scripture. But every last one of us needs to be actively engaged in it all the time. Why? Because we need God's grace every day. Not just once in a while. Certainly not just once a week. Come tomorrow, there will be all kinds of tests and trials waiting for us. Every one of us. You need God's Word every day. Now, this is why we focus your attention upon Scripture this way and urge you to be serious about the study of God's holy Word. It is not just that you become scholarly. It is not just that you learn more things. That is not the idea. It's that you meet God in Scripture. You find fellowship with Him in Scripture. And that association through His Word is what strengthens you, what builds you up and makes you what you should be in the sight of God. It's something that is an absolute essential. And yet many Christians regard it as an option that they do once in a while as they think of it. It should be just like the daily meals, every day. All the time. Even on holidays. Every day you need sustaining grace. Every day you work on Scripture. Why? Because you need the strength. You need the presence of God. It comes through this book. And we must understand that. Now this book is not just bread from heaven. This book is a love letter from our Lord and Savior. It is His message to His people. And we ought to read it with the zeal that lovers read notes from one another. We need to read it with the compassionate study of one who profoundly loves the one who wrote this blessed note to us. It must consume us within. Just as in courtship, when they send notes to one another, lovers will just absolutely devour those notes. We need to devour this blessed love letter from our Lord. My friends, I come back to this subject again and again because it is so easy in going through this world to get to think that we'll make it through the desert all right. And we don't need that sustaining grace. That's a delusion. No one is going to go through a desert. Think of Death Valley. There have been many people that have tried. You won't get through it without sustenance, water, the water of life and the bread of life. They won't make it. You won't make it either. You will come to shipwreck. You need God's provision for life. Not once in a while. Systematically. Every day. Without any intermission. God's Word is what you need to sustain your life and give you the Christian testimony you need every day. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. In this quiet moment, do you study God's Word every day, determinedly? If not, would you in this quiet moment, in the presence of God, vow to Him that you will turn to the Scriptures every day, that you will make a place in your schedule for it every day? You will come to it and digest and absorb the content of this blessed book. Whatever the inconvenience, whatever the cause, it is a lifetime vow that you will, by the grace of God, never break. If that is your heart's purpose, would you slip your hand up and say, "Yes, pray for me. This is my lifetime vow. By the grace of God, I will do so." God bless you. 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 O Lord, how we thank Thee for this blessed book. How we thank Thee for the supernatural nature of this book that challenges us, strengthens us, conforms us to the image of Thy blessed Son. We thank Thee for providing such heavenly manna for us. Help us, Lord, every day to take advantage of it, to fill our hearts and minds with this blessed book, to let Thy Word dwell in us richly. Give us that grace, Lord, as the Bereans, to search the Scriptures daily, to fill our minds with what is there, that Thy Spirit may strengthen us and encourage us and quicken our steps through this desolate wilderness. Help us, Lord, every step of the way, that we may draw upon Thy blessed Word to make us what we ought to be for Thee. Give us that strength, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.